D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I mean, they know what's popping on the field.
Yeah.
Diaz and B-Boys.
You know.
Saints. Diaz and B-Boys.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Uh-huh. I love this podcast.
You know, I talked about getting rid of this and like every year having a new one. It can't happen,
this,
man.
This is it, man.
It's grown on me now. It's like you're walking down the street.
You can't get rid of it yet until I figure out what he actually says.
Yeah, then, boy, that's never going to die either, huh?
He's probably in the field.
He's doing something in the field.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Well, hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast. Another day, another edition. Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio.
Yeah.
We got some new equipment. We got a fourth microphone, and we trying to find.
We don't want to talk about this other show now, brother. You bring this up.
The studio, man, we improving the studio.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, got the equipment.
Heath, I'm just telling you, man.
Got ESPN money up in here now.
Uh-huh. So that's what it is.
There's a lot of extra floater. I see how that works.
Uh-huh.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Uh-huh. So wait.
Does that mean that next week we'll get some stools that actually won't hurt our behinds when we're sitting on?
Yeah.
I'm working on that. You're going to get an extra 2 inches of cushion on there.
See? There you go. ESPN money again.
So y'all both fathers. I'm a father now. So did y'all have a good Father's Day?
I did.
Did anything exciting?
No, not really.
Tomas?
I cooked.
Cooked?
Spent the day with my children.
Tomas has what kind of dogs are they?
Golden Retrievers.
Golden Retrievers, huh?
That's right.
Yeah,
four-legged
kids.
Children.
That's kids. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are like that, too, so agree with that.
I spoil them. They're my children.
So listen to my wonderful.
They had a piece of steak with me.
My wonderful.
A nice big ribeye, rare.
Ah, man, you know there are hungry people listening to this podcast.
Too bad. I'm so sorry. You're poor and you're hungry.
Dang.
Third world problems.
Third world problems.
That's right. I live the first world, brother. I don't live no third world.
So, man.
I worked hard. Let me tell you. I worked hard.
Here we go.
We ain't even got to the rant yet, Tomas.
Yeah, this guy's already got me going. I mean, you know, look, when I was 20, I ate ground meat. Okay, drank cheap beer, Schwegmans. For those of you who might remember who Schwegman was, right? He had that Schwegman beer, Big Shot. Big Shot orange juice. Went to graduate school, ate tuna fish and everywhere there was out the can. Never eat tuna fish ever again in my life.
No.
Not now. And I worked hard to get to this point, brother. And so now I'm at this point, you know what? I have steak.
I mean, did you give him coffee before he walked in the door? What's going on here?
He's wound up.
So listen, I want to tell you how lucky and wonderful my Father's Day was.
Tell us about it, even though I already know about it. But go ahead, tell us about it.
First of all, well, because I posted on Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good day. First of all, my wife was gracious enough to allow me to get up early so she could sleep in. You know, I mean, you don't find a woman that's that caring and giving all the time.
I know.
So then when she did get up, she cooked she cooked herself some eggs. And I ask her if I'm getting breakfast. Well, we ain't got no more eggs. But to make up for that, she allowed me to go to McDonald's and buy myself breakfast
there
at McDonald's.
You go. There you go. You should be happy she allowed it.
So then I figured, you know, after I go out and I have 3 acres, go out and cut grass all afternoon, I come back. She's in my recliner with the blanket up to her neck taking a nap, you know, from a hard day's work. So that's my life right there. Then try to go to the bathroom, and I got my little girls, 4 and 6, banging on the door. What you doing in there, Daddy? What you doing in there?
See, this is what happens when you get married with one of those little young things. You know?
Well, hey, man.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
It happens even when you've married the old ones.
They do that, too, huh?
They do the same.
Yeah, I used to think that, too.
I guess I'm just lucky because I don't have that problem.
No, you got a wonderful lady there.
That's right.
I used to think that when I was younger, I'd get rid of one and get me a new one, thinking it was going to be any different.
Yeah,
the only difference is like the first like 2 months or whatever, and then it's
I think they got a school or something they don't tell all the guys about. They just train them to do all that stuff, so it's all the same.
Those mistakes, brothers. I don't make that kind of mistake.
Then, you know,
I married up in life and I stayed there.
There you go. Not everybody's that lucky. So I better be careful now. She's great. She worked late, so I'll give her that excuse this time. So the video.
Yeah.
What is it? Beat the freeze?
Beat the freeze.
All right. So, I mean, so, okay, you got to go to Tomas's. Tomas, tell him your Twitter account.
My Twitter account is Tomas19.
Well, we're freeze, the freeze, beat the freeze.
Oh, no, it's on a different one. But I'll post it. I'll post it on on the Saints.
So, which one?
BS and Beer Who Dat. Okay. I'll post it on
BS and, go to BS and Beer Who Dat and take a look at this video that Tomas is going to post on there. Okay, so first of all, what they do is they pull somebody out of the stands.
Wait. Yeah, you're giving it wrong, brother.
Okay,
you
got
to say
go ahead.
All right? All right, a shout out to Blue Stallion Brewery here in Lexington, Kentucky, because one of my former students runs the place. He owns the place.
Okay.
He was the one who sent me the video.
All right.
Okay, and I thought it was really funny. It's at an Atlanta Braves game. Braves versus the Mets, two teams that I dislike in baseball. Perfect, right? So the idea is they bring somebody out the stands, and he's going to race against a guy that they call the Freeze.
The Freeze.
And so the Freeze is in that one, what do you call it? A unitard thing. Okay. With the ski goggles on.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
And so they give the guy out the stadium a head start, right?
Yeah. A big head start, too.
Yeah, this is the outfield. He's got to go up from the
left field line.
All the way around to first base.
All around the wall.
Yeah. Down to the first base.
To the first base line, right. Okay.
So by the dugout. So he takes off. The guy takes off. Man, he's running. He's running hard.
He's doing pretty good.
He's at center field. He's making a turn at center field. He's almost up. And at about that time, they say, okay, Freeze, go get
it. That's when they release the Freeze.
Yeah.
This guy starts hitting it, man. I mean, he's like, dunk, dunk, dunk. Head's not moving. Perfect line.
Nothing but hands, man. You don't see
it. Now, the guy who started first, you know, he's smiling. Now, he's pushing still.
And, you know, for an average guy, he's actually running pretty well. He's not like a goofball and arms flailing around.
He's running
pretty solid. Average dude.
But he sees the finish line. The two girls are holding a little tape, you know, with the little checkerboard tape. And so he starts looking at the crowd.
Waving them on, cheer for me.
And all of a sudden, here comes the Freeze. The Freeze gets right next to him, and the look that
it startled him, right? Like, and he's like, oh.
Now let's not say any more of it. You got to watch the rest of the video and see what happens at the end.
Yeah. Yes.
But just let's say that he didn't beat the Freeze.
No, you cannot beat the Freeze.
And of course, what it reminded me of was that big lead. I think it was 28-3, wasn't it?
The dude had Atlanta shirt on, by the way.
That's right. Yeah. So I didn't want you to forget
about
it.
It was a Brave shirt, but
it still says
Photoshop
Atlanta.
People out there. Somebody go take that video and Photoshop some Patriots on the Freeze.
There you go.
Yes.
And then put the score 28-3 while the Freeze is still way behind him.
Right. Or if you the one of those guys that could take videos and transpose like the faces on
yeah,
to the
yeah, box. Put Tom that's Brady's right. head on it.
No, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, yeah. And with, on the Freeze run and maybe get the Patriots symbol
logo
on the chest or something like that.
And it's somewhere on the field, it got to say 28-3.
Right. It stays like
yeah,
that
just
all
stays
the way up
the whole
until,
time.
Until you see the conclusion and then put the final score up there right after
you'll,
see the
conclusion. Dude, you'll get so many hits if you can do that.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you'll have so many hits. Everybody will be talking about it.
It's
great. Don't miss that. One more time, what's the Twitter?
BS and Beer Who Dat.
Yeah, check it out. Check the video out. It's hilarious. All right, so let's, I say sooner or later we got to get this show started.
Let's get the show started, brother.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, BS and Beer podcast here at the SEC Pub. Listen, I know it's not Saints related, but here in the offseason, Mayweather and McGregor, they went ahead. It's all agreed upon.
Yeah.
They're going to fight. It's going to be MMA style. It's going to be – no, I'm kidding. It's all boxing. All boxing.
Huh.
Mayweather 49-0.
Yeah.
He's a huge favorite in it. Now, McGregor is a pretty bad dude in the MMA world.
Well, he was.
He's like 21-3. He's never been knocked out. But here's something, too. Like, okay, the point is I'm not going to I don't know how to create this story in a way that would leave suspense into thinking that anything other than Mayweather is going to kill this guy.
Yeah.
But the one thing that would, if someone went to argue the other way, I thought this was a pretty good point. One of the guys, he's never been knocked out. One of the guys that beat McGregor was Joe Duffy, and he's one of three men to defeat McGregor. And Duffy switched to boxing after losing one time, and he won 7 straight boxing contest.
Yeah.
So my point is, one of the dudes that beat McGregor turned out to be a pretty damn good boxer, which says,
well, okay, who was he boxing against?
Well, that's
he won boxing against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, right. But still, what I'm just saying is that, like, okay, so he goes up against a guy that can box, and it's one of the three people that beats him.
Right.
So, like, the thing is,
the first thing that comes to mind, that would be my original thought. Boy, if they boxing only and it's not MMA style, yeah, Floyd Mayweather is going to kill this guy. The second thing that does come to mind, I don't know how big McGregor is. Like,
they're about
how
the same size.
They are about the same.
They're about the same size.
Mayweather's going to kill him.
Yeah. One of the funny things is initially, it looks like that McGregor's team, during the negotiation, was trying to negotiate kicks below the waist.
Yeah,
Mayweather's that is not happening. I think it would be cool if they were just like, look, you can go to the ground, but no more than 30 seconds. If you don't, whatever you can do in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But could you imagine? I've already expressed that Mayweather will kill him. The fight will last as long as Mayweather allows it to go. Having said that, wouldn't it be funny if, like, you know, they did allow just like certain kicks below the and watch him beating the hell out of McGregor, and then all of a sudden McGregor like kick him in the leg, you know, one of those little slap kicks they do to the thigh.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes down, and the next thing you know, he has him in a headlock, and he's like just counting down. You know, it's like 15, 14. Yeah. He's getting choked out, and you know, I think that would sell a lot of tickets. It would sell
Maybe they got to fight twice.
You know, that,
one on each set of
one
rules.
Side. That's right. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
Here's what I think about, and I don't know if you all remember this or not, but there was a guy who played for the Boston Celtics, and he was like a bench rider. And they constantly made fun of him, and there were a bunch of people in L.A. who made fun of him. And this one guy who was a street baller said, man, I would beat him like a drum, and I could be, you know, he's all right. And so he said, okay, let's go and do it. And they went on a basketball court with, you know, a legitimate basketball court thing. They went on there. The guy beat him like 24 to nothing. Yeah, you know, the guy who was the 10th player on the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this other guy who was like the street baller, he was the guy. Everybody's like, oh,
right,
nobody can beat him.
Yeah, the streets of L.A. Okay. Over at Muscle Beach.
He got zip
and all
points.
That stuff.
He got zip points.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing. You know, I don't care what this other guy, he beat him and he went to boxing. Now, you know, in New Orleans, when I was coming up, boxing was a big thing in New Orleans. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
You know, my dad would take us to go see these boxing events. And let me tell you, when you saw the real boxers, that was a beautiful thing, the art of boxing. But the lower fights on the card, the three-rounders, the two-rounders, you know, just the big old galoots just beating the wop out of each other.
That was sometimes the more fun fights because just, you know, they can't even. Some of them that just gotten. Mm-hmm. They only been boxing like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two fights and they in there and
they're not in the greatest of shape.
Yeah.
And that you watching them get walloped.
Yeah.
And
it'll be
everything is just kind of
When every time they get hit, you
Mayweather
see
Mayweather is clearly going to have an advantage tactically as far as. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously McGregor's got to be a tough guy. You don't make a name for yourself in MMA if you're not a tough guy.
Yeah, he might have.
So
a
So it'll be
chin.
Interesting to see how long he can hold up against.
Right.
You remember Tex Cobb? Remember Tex Cobb?
Yeah. Yes.
You
know, he
went there and got beat on for. But you
eyes
you're
all
swollen.
Knock
him out, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I mean, so and that's one of the things that at least makes you pause for a second is, look, boxing. Tough sport. It's a very tough. My dad was a professional fighter. I fought until I started playing high school football. Tough sport, man. I mean, even when you win, you leave beat up.
Yeah.
And McGregor, MMA is a whole nother level of toughness that you have to be to take an elbow to the face and all the different things. So it'd be interesting to see how long he could last. And now Mayweather has always been known as a defensive fighter. One of the best fighters of all time, perhaps. You know, one of. But a defensive fighter. So, you know, is he going to go in there and, you know, work him offensively, or is he just gonna, you know, duck and die, you know, juke and jive a little up against the ropes and a little opie doke?
Well, I think actually that's exactly what he's gonna do, because I think when you got a guy who's less skilled as McGregor is, that's gonna actually play to his advantage even more, because McGregor's gonna come in flailing Right. And that's going to make it even easier for Mayweather to sit back and just counter him and pick him apart as he, you know.
One of the things, too, is that they're saying that the pay-per-view is going to be exceed $100 a pop for this show. And I don't understand. like I think it's a foregone conclusion what's going to happen. Okay. Minus the lucky thing,
you know,
he snaps his ankle stepping into the ring, yeah. You know, trips over the cute guard, the girl with the card, you know, or gets distracted, something like that, you know. Anyway,
What if, right? People sit around talking, they lots of these boxes, these guys got gloves on their hands and they don't blah blah blah, you know, and so people talk about it. So here you go,
Well,
you know, so yeah, I don't imagine.
So at least to make it fair, they should let McGregor not have to wear gloves, or at least only wear those little gloves they wear.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, if he's stepping in completely into the boxing rules,
yes,
and into Floyd Mayweather's wheelhouse, then I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, and I'd like to also point out, conversely, if they flipped him and brought him into the cage,
flipped,
it'd be completely, you know, I guess in essence, it's saying, who's the best football player? Who's the best football player right now? You know, somebody, name one.
Brandon Cook.
Stop it. You know, so Brady.
It's all about. I just picked the speediest wide receiver I know.
Brady. If Brady goes and plays basketball against LeBron James, he's going to lose. But having said that, if LeBron James gets on the football field, Tom Brady would be exponentially better than him.
Maybe.
Anyway, one of the things
that he picked the bad. That was a bad example.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a point that a football player, you go in different sports. Like these guys are good at what they do. They go to the other thing while they're both fighting. They're two completely different types of fighting.
Right.
If you said like a running back, if you said, you know,
that'd probably
Elliot
be
from Dallas.
There you go.
Okay, against Larry Bird. Okay, now you've got something there, okay?
Much better.
Larry Bird would beat him on the basketball court shooting, okay? Yeah. But running ain't going to happen.
Yeah. So now with all the violence that's going on, like, okay, so there's more of this United Airlines stuff with the all the crap that's going on there, these guys. Yeah. And so now
we're going to talk football or not, bro?
I'm just saying.
You're just putting off the whooping you're about to get. Is that what
the story is? Yeah, because we got this. We're going to have a little discussion about a Twitter exchange Tomas and I had. But I'm just saying that it seems like now the airlines taking note of these MMA and these fights, and it's almost like they're trying to monetarily benefit from. I heard this on the internet. Listen to this.
This is your captain speaking. We'd like to thank you for flying BS and Beer Airlines today. Unfortunately, we overbooked today's flight, so we're going to have to take a couple of volunteers to exit the plane. The flight attendants will be coming around to help facilitate that need. Again, thank you for flying BS and Beer Airlines.
Hello, sir. You've been randomly selected to forfeit your seat, so please follow me.
I ain't going nowhere. This is my seat.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Let's get ready to rumble!
See, they're trying to make
this
money off of it.
Winging at a combined weight of 517 pounds. An overweight but ironically sassy flight attendant. A retired sheriff's deputy supplementing his woefully insufficient health insurance by working part-time as an air marshal. And a male flight attendant with a disturbing lisp.
That's disrespectful.
And in the other corner, weighing in at 172 pounds. From, well, that's irrelevant because he won't be getting there anytime soon. The passenger of disaster from 27C, Harold Lee.
Oh, man. See, now they're just trying to monetize this.
They're pushing it now.
They're pushing the envelope. They think they can make a little extra money
it's
on this
scripted.
Stuff. Yeah, you know, you wonder if that's not a plant, you know?
Yeah.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
There's no football offseason for LandryFootball.com, which is why all 32 NFL teams and most major college football programs are members. From college football and NFL roster analysis, all the latest in the recruiting and draft scene, as well as the inside scoop around the college and NFL game, is what you'll get. Be better prepared for this upcoming football season than ever before by becoming a member. Get access to an NFL scouting department, and for less than the cost of a magazine subscription. So head to LandryFootball.com, use subscription code SAINTS, and become a member today. All right, we're back. BS and Beer. Listen, Heath, I got into this text discussion with this guy.
I saw it.
I tell you what, man. This guy here,
I didn't answer it back.
You stay neutral.
Yeah, the only text that I got seriously close to sending was, "Please God, make it stop," because it was literally ding, 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 ding about every 2 seconds arguing about this, and y'all are both wrong.
We got something cooking here. All right.
As they say, the truth is always somewhere in the middle.
All right. Well, okay. So, to set the table.
I want to hear what he's going to lie about.
I just want to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. Unless the Saints are lying to me about the news, I am a bit disturbed by.
Well, I've always said that about you, but go
ahead. I'm a bit disturbed,
my friend,
by all the injuries to major core players. Now, hopefully, we'll get Unger back. I am very discouraged if we'll ever see Fairley back. And now Armstead, there's a very good chance that he's going to essentially be, you know, non-existent this year.
Yeah.
Is it the end of the world? No, it's not. The Saints are still going to play. But at the end of the day, what is it that we are looking for? Are we looking to win some games and do a little bit better than last year? Or are we trying to see if we can get, you know, we have a couple of years left of the last hurrah to see if maybe we can put a team together that might compete for a Super Bowl?
Right.
So, Tomas.
I want to see what words he's going to put in my mouth, but go ahead.
Seems to think. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. See, you lobbed me a softball,
but
I'm a nice guy.
Go ahead.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
You lobbed me a softball, yeah, and I didn't take advantage of it because I'm a good dude like that.
They're soft sometimes, but go ahead.
But here's the thing. Tomas thinks that apparently none of this means anything. It's perfectly okay because of backups.
I knew he was going to put words in my mouth that I didn't say.
I mean, I go back and read the text.
You should.
Okay.
It's not the end of the world.
So, that's right. That was on. I said it was not the end of the world. I did put that on. To me, if I understood correctly, you may correct me if I'm mistaken. You said that this has such an impact because, first of all, it's three of our best five players on the team.
Ish. Yeah.
There was no ish on the text, but okay. Three of our best five players. And you said you can't replace Pro Bowlers with other people on the team.
With backups.
You said you could just interchangeable the other 50 on the team, but these five you couldn't do without.
Okay, and again,
and then I sent back to you, and I said,
"This is gonna make for bad radio if you just your interpretation of everything."
Is that not what you wrote?
What I'm saying is every team has a handful of guys.
We weren't talking about every team. We were talking about the Saints.
The Saints. Okay.
Yes, the Saints.
So the Saints have a handful of guys.
Five, you said.
That is not what I said.
That's a handful right there. One, two, three, four, five, right there.
A handful of guys on a team that are indisposable.
Make me pull up the text.
Pull up the text. Pull it up.
Yeah.
Every team has X amount of guys. Who are, without them, they are the team. Everybody else is interchangeable. So I'm not, and I didn't say that only five guys on the Saints team are interchangeable, and I would have to sit down and kind of count them up and see how many we do have that are, like, indisposable and how many are basically interchangeable. And I know there's some gray areas there. There's some young guys who might develop into that guy, or there's some guys who are at the end of their career who might be on the downside. But when it's all said and done, it's hard to overcome the loss of three of your top five or so players. Unger, I would say, is a top five player. Fairley's one that I would be a little bit questionable. Teron Armstead's probably the second best player on his team when healthy. So the only question is, when I say top five, is where do you really rank Fairley? And top five is a round, nice round number. I'd have to really look at the roster. But if he's not five, you can make an argument for it.
Yeah.
So how do you lose three of the top five and think just the backup guy is going to step in? Even if the backup guy, for instance, Fairley, let's just say that Rankins steps up and has a huge improvement / second year, improvement. You still lost depth, and that's what happened to us last year. Is we had a defensive backfield. We had all these guys. I went in thinking whether it was real or not. I went in thinking, man, we have some depth, man. We have some nice starters. We have some young guys coming in. We have some, and then by the time the season started, we had already lost our depth. So then all of a sudden, when Bro gets injured, P.J. Williams gets injured. Now your depth just got injured. So now you're talking about guys off the street. So at the bare minimum, yes, we all hope that Ramczyk can develop immediately into a starting quality left tackle. But even if he does, you would still say, okay, if he gets injured, then, which he already is injured. Yeah. If he gets injured, then who? Now we're right back to having Hills and.
Well, no, we won't have Hills because he's in Detroit.
Oh, well, okay.
I said that to you.
Yeah. So now you have those level players as you're starting left tackle again. So, again, end of the world, no. Is there a chance that, you know, Ramczyk can come in and be a good quality left tackle? You know, there's a lot of people who believe he can. I'm not going to sit here and say I know enough about him to say he can or can't. I think he can. I hope he can. But even if he does, then, you know, one injury or whatever, you back to scrambling around. So the point is that bare minimum, we lost the depth on our team that I thought was going to be one of the things to help us be a better team this year.
You know?
All right, Heath, here it is. It's the first time used this year. Here we go.
Oh, my God, it's going to blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow!
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That don't mean anything to me.
It's
going
to blow! It's going to blow!
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
That's the best one. And she will. Just a mathematical certainty.
All right. Let's hear what you got, Tomas. All right. Let's hear what you got.
So here's the tweets that I have in front of me. This is from Mr. Romero. We're not talking the end of the world. We're talking Saints football and losing three of our top five players. It's not good. Next, you say, yeah, but their success can generally be determined by the best players on their roster. The rest are interchangeable.
Right. So there's not a number of the best players on your roster. It could be 5. It could be 20.
But you said 5 on the previous tweet. I just read it. Did I not just read it?
Leaving out context.
Oh, go ahead.
Make your point. Make your point.
All right. My point. The Saints are a team. They are a team of players. We don't have any. I asked you this question. We had no Pro Bowl designees. In 2016 or 2015, none. So when you're telling me that, oh, you can't replace a Pro Bowler, we got none.
That's just a name I use to describe a top-end player.
We had none.
We would have had some, but they were hurt.
Supposedly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If they're hurt, they're not Pro Bowlers. Sorry. To me, when you started this, you know, whatever, however, sorry, actually, I think it was Little Dice who started.
Yeah, Little Dice over there starting problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. To me, the thing is, I hear all of these other supposed competitors we have. Of course, we have no competitors. But these other podcasts, they're all pissing and moaning about, oh, woe is me. You know, we've lost this guy. Oh, it's the end of the world. Right? Okay. Armstead played in less than 32% of the games last year. Less than 32. Were the Saints still able to score with the ball? Absolutely. Did we have a running game? Yes, we did. We couldn't stop anybody, so really it was not a question of the offense. It was a question of the defense, not the offense. So Armstead is out. Gee, what a surprise. Okay, he's been injured on and off since we've gotten him. So now you're like, oh, well, now what are we going to do with Ramczyk? May I remind you that Andres Pete played left tackle for a great deal more than a third of the offensive plays last year and did really well at the left tackle position.
I thought so.
So if, to me, I wouldn't even bother to put Ramczyk out there yet. I'd slide Pete out to the left tackle. You got Senio, who can play guard. You got Turner still on the team after a whole year. Perhaps he's picked up something and play guard. You know, we picked up a center who can play center. It's not going to be Mr. Allen. It'll be Josh Laribas. I think that's how you say his name. Who we picked up from the Redskins. He started a whole bunch of games as a center for the Redskins, did a great job as a center. He's in his fifth year from Southern Methodist. So I'm not worried about the Unger situation. Jack Allen just didn't work out, you know. Sorry. That's just the way that it goes.
Well,
he has a different height. He has a different, you know. When you're snapping the ball, I mean, this is a problem with Allen. To me, because Little Dice wrote this to me as well. And I said to him, look, you can't be a starting center. If you're going to snap the ball over McCown's head, Gary Grayson's head, if you're going to snap the ball to the right side of Chase Daniels where he can't get it, you're not going to be starting center, okay? This kid that they brought in was still a young guy, Laribas.
5 years.
So. 5 years. He's in his fifth year or sixth year. I mean, the guy's a pro.
So to me, no loss there. You move Andres Pete out to the left tackle. We've got that covered. So now you're just looking at guard, which we've always been talking about. Oh, here's the guard thing again, you know. But we have depth still even behind that because we have other players still on this team to step up into that spot. So to me, Unger, and he's going to be back. It's not like he's going to be out for the whole season. The person going to be out for the whole season is going to be
Armstead.
Armstead. He's out for the whole season. He's talking 5 or 6 months. He's out for the whole season. He's not coming back. Okay. So to me, I don't see this big a lot. Fairly. Again, I go back and restate what I've stated before. This is the same Fairley that before the Saints signed him for the first year, the word was he's lazy, he doesn't play every play, he's got a weight problem, he's a waste. He came to the Saints on a minimum contract because no one wanted him. Okay, he came to the Saints, did something about his weight, played with a chip on his shoulder, played really well, fit into the defensive scheme that Dennis Allen had, fantastic. Signs a big contract. That's the Saints' problem. They're signing a contract without an out when you knew he had a heart issue.
Man, I have to agree with that. Oh, that's okay. Another conversation.
That's a complete different conversation. But the bottom line is that there was no guarantee that he's going to come back this year and play like he did last year. He might have come back and played like the year before when he was a flop with the Rams because now he's got the big check in his pocket. So you don't know that. As opposed to, okay, who else you have? Onyemata, who you were big on, Dave.
I'm not saying okay. I'm not big on him now, but you talking about, okay, you can't assume that a guy who played well last year is just not going to play well, so he's no big loss.
No, but you go by his history. In Detroit?
Then we should have never signed him to the contract.
Well, that's correct. Now you came to the right conclusion.
Well, I mean, but we did, so you got to assume that the expectation.
But before we signed that contract, every fan and every talking head out there was talking about, hey, the number one thing is to sign Fairley back, which I was opposed to. I was like, no, hold on a second. You can't do that.
Is that true, Heath?
Yes.
I think it might be true. Well, I don't know if I want to give him any credit for that, but it might be true.
He was certainly opposed at the wrong amount.
Well, yeah, I thought this big contract and all this big. To me, that wasn't the number one issue that we should be thinking about re-signing on this team. You know, to me, I have other players that are way ahead of Fairley that we should be, you know, Snead still doesn't have a contract. I put Snead's contract way ahead of Fairley's contract. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I've said before, and you can check the tape. I said the number one need on this team was linebacker.
No, yeah, I do remember. Yeah,
you know, I think they've addressed that pretty well, and so I think it's going to make a significant difference on defense. You know, linebacker. We addressed the idea. We have we've got a steal at safety. There's no doubt in my mind that Marcus Williams is going to be the starting safety back there. There's no doubt. Lattimore, I'm not so sure. He's going to probably be a work in progress, but I think he's going to come around and be a starter as well. So to me, missing Fairley, I'm still believing in Davidson. I'm still believing in Onyemata, and I really think that Onyemata is going to be one of those kids. I mean, you think about what his background was, and they threw him in there when Rankins broke his leg. Now, again, I haven't heard anybody say about Rankins. Look, you got Davison, Rankins, Onyemata. Tell me where you lost your backup there. You still got three guys to play the center, and they just signed the guy from the Seahawks, McDaniels, okay, who's a pro, a vet, who's been there and played the center position, three position as well. So you got 2 ones, 2 threes. Tell me again how you don't have backup.
I mean, I'm going to tell you because they're not as good as Fairley is. That's the point.
I disagree
with you. They
are
a fourth person.
McDaniels is actually a pro bowler.
Why is McDaniels on signing contracts with the Saints for minimum deal right now if he's that good?
Why did Fairley sign a minimum deal contract if he was that good?
Well, okay, so you're saying he's the same kind of guy? That's a good, okay, oh, touche. But are you saying that he's
the difference is McDaniels is in his 12th or 13th
year. Right, so, he's an older guy. An older guy.
So the point is that he came in.
The Saints gave Fairley a chance, okay? The bottom line is this. Nobody wanted Fairley. If you go back and think about it.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Detroit let him go. He went to the Rams. The Rams said, no, we're not going to invest any money in you either.
And he played decent at the Rams. He lost weight. It seemed like his attitude had changed at the Rams.
But they didn't want him anymore. Okay. So the Saints need it because we had five guys on the defensive line who were undrafted. You remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Euless, and I can't even think of all the names anymore, okay? Because they're not even football anymore.
Right.
So we needed somebody. The guy had experience, and you know, we took him as a reclamation project. I mean, that's the bottom line. Could have won, could have not won, but for the minimum wage, we were like, we're good to go.
And we won.
Okay.
We won.
And we won on that one.
Right.
On that one, okay? Do I need to bring up all the losers that we've had that we reclaimed and didn't work out?
Yeah, but we're not talking about those right
now. We're talking about Fairley.
Hold on. As of right now, we may be only one on that one for a year.
Yeah, for that.
He's getting ready to turn into an absolute loser.
And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm just, my point is that, first of all, Dave, if you tell me we have 15 quality players on this team, you know, I'm going to go back. Let me back up a second. There were years where the Saints had 50, let's just say 50, 50 guys on this team. If they cut anybody except, you know, the quarterback, no other team's going to look at them anyway.
Right.
Okay. Now, right now on this team, I could tell you if they cut the top 30 guys on this team, they're going to be playing for somebody else.
Well, and they could be a backup somewhere else. But that don't
or,
mean that
or even a starter. The top 30. I said the top 30.
I feel what you're saying, but I don't know if we have 30 people that goes to another team and is necessarily a starter.
I'd be willing to sit down and figure it out
maybe
with
that,
you.
Next week we have to go down and see what team. You know, I mean, that's debatable. But quite frankly, unless I had the roster in front of me.
We're going
to
cut a defensive back that's going to be starting on another team.
Y'all say that every single year. Oh man, that guy there, we cut him, he's gone for sure. Next thing you know, he's
on
the practice
spot. I don't say that
every
year. I don't know who you're talking about.
Just people say that.
You know, we cut this guy. I'll tell you this much. We cut the wooden Indian, ain't nobody gonna pick him up.
No, he ain't gonna.
Okay. There you go. That's right. He better go put a feather behind his head, okay? Because he ain't never going nowhere. All right. Maybe he can sell some cigars down at the cigar shop. But I'm just saying to you, the whole issue for me was the way that you and several other people have presented the fact that, okay, we lost these three guys, Unger, Fairley, Armstead, we traded Cook, and all of a sudden we have no team.
You're talking about putting words in people's mouth. All I said is you lose your best players, and that's not a good thing. That's literally all I said. It's not good to lose three of your top five players. And then you started with the, and I'm just like, look, man, I mean, there's no way to argue if a good player goes down, it's a loss. Even if that guy would have been a backup, then he would have been a good backup depth. We lost, and again, let me take a step back. Unger is supposed to be back, but I swear to maybe I just don't have any confidence anymore because I swear to God, every time I hear him say, oh, they'll be back by week three. You know, what's his name? The linebacker, 59. Doggone it. Anyway, you know, every
Swilling? You're talking about?
No, I mean, why are you... You are a big help here. Yeah, you're just trying to bury me is what you're doing, man.
Ellerby. I knew who I wanted to say.
You're trying to bury me over here. You're talking about who? Pat Swilling? But
Ellerby. Who has a broken foot, he may not play at all this year.
So, you know, like all these guys, oh, they'll be back in 4 weeks. They'll be back in 2 weeks. Bro's going to be back in such and such, you know, last year. It's a constant thing, so I have no confidence.
But that's to appease the fans.
I get it. So they might be trying to appease us right now when they're saying he's going to be back in.
Only the 95%ers. I'm not a 95%er. No.
So you confident that he's going to be back?
No, I didn't say that either.
I mean, okay. So my point is,
To you that Armstead will not be back. They said in the middle of the season, and I'm telling you, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, he will not be back.
I think the Saints have to be playing going forward. Here's one time
Unger,
now when we look
I don't
back.
Believe Unger will play until the first game. Okay. I think he'll play the first game.
And
I don't
hope.
Think he'll play any
and
preseason game.
So now we look back and say, man, wasn't it like just genius? All the, you know, first round tackles we drafted. Now it's like, it's one thing I will say. Again, it's never good to lose your best players. But having said that, at least you could say at tackle and at linebacker too. Although Ellerby's probably significantly better than those guys when healthy, but he's never healthy.
I disagree.
Right. We have depth. You disagree? He's always healthy.
No. I disagree that he's not better than everybody because he's never healthy.
Well, that's
if
what
he's
I'm
healthy,
saying.
Well, he's never healthy,
and that's the point I was making. The point is that there could not have been better positions for us to lose good guys at, and still say, you know what, we still got a puncher's chance because. If
we have more than a punch, that's exactly why you pissed me off, is because you act as if, well, we have to go incredibly.
And what's funny is, I think the first words out of your mouth were, I don't want to piss Tomas off, but.
But. So. I'm just saying, just like Little less, well, we're expecting lightning to strike. You know, I'm not expecting lightning to strike.
All right, hold on. All right. So your glass half empty. Your glass half full.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm an engineer, so they designed the glass wrong, man. Yeah.
Well, what I say is either way, you only got a half a glass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, the bottom line is that what I said y'all were both wrong. What I should have said is y'all are both right.
There's a
little bit of both in there. Mm-hmm. Is it a big deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. You lose three starters, it's a big deal. Is it the end of the world? No, not necessarily. Especially, like you said, we're going to look like if Ramchek comes in, and I disagree with you on sliding Pete out to play that. I would love to see Ramczyk be able to.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't disagree with that, but I just don't think he'll be ready.
You know, the sad part
injury,
is
not
right
technique.
Before we got the word that Armstead was going to be out, we saw it written about Unger and Streif and all these guys talking about how Pete has finally got it at guard.
Yes, yes, right. Yes, yes.
I
yes,
mean,
yes.
He's just coming in. I mean, he's got it.
Because
yeah,
he spent the whole offseason.
Off,
yep.
It's
yep.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hopefully, but you're right, he's you know, he's hurt, although he did participate a little
he
bit.
Just he did the walkthroughs. Yeah. He didn't do anything else.
Hopefully, he's ready to go. This guy was said to be the top tackle in the draft.
Yes.
The only reason
yep.
he went down to 32 was because of
the injury
concern.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
he was a much higher
yeah.
first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Of course, so was Pete. But let's keep that in mind. But, you know, look, I'll go even a step further. I'm not sure if we see Armstead back with the Saints, period.
I wouldn't.
If Ramczyk comes in and works out at left tackle,
yeah.
we're at a point now. I think it's what at least 2 years removed since we re-signed.
No,
him.
No. I heard.
No, we still
I
have a chunk of money.
Underhill, he went year by year, and in one of his podcasts, and it was like cut him
still
this year, it's
hurt.
$17 million. Cut him next year, it's $14 million. Cut him after that, it's $9 million.
Well,
I was like, oh
not,
God.
But, well, look, the bottom line though, is if Ramczyk comes in and plays well enough, he might not get back on the field just based on play alone.
And that you can count
or
on.
Or that we're making the assumption that he'll ever actually be healthy again anyway. You know, at the rate he's gone right now, this guy's never, he's another Ellerby. He's guy, he don't seem
yeah,
to
because
be
last
to
year
no
it was
what.
Lower body. When you had sent that text to me, you thought it wasn't the same thing. This is a torn labrum up at the top of his chest.
Right.
You know, the last year when he missed so many of the games was he had a leg issue.
Right, and he missed a little time the year before that.
That's right, like, on some other issue. So.
And so the bottom line is that
He's in and he's playing, he's probably, I'd say maybe top two left tackle because of his agility, because of his speed.
I mean, he's
I don't
a stone wall. Yes.
But the problem is that you only have him at 30% of the games. That doesn't do you any good.
Right.
You know, you just can't. Same thing with Ellerby. And I'm not so worried about it. You know, I read the article where they finally said what was wrong with him. I can't remember who reported it. But somebody finally said he broke his foot, broke a bone in his foot. And I started kind of giggling because, again, all these people, Angelone, you know, and one of the guys who does a podcast calls him something else. I'm telling you, I know you don't believe because you never believe in rookies. Okay. But I believe that the Saints have really gone the extra mile in trying to find guys who aren't going to take 3 years to develop.
Sure.
Okay? I'm not saying that he's not going to make rookie mistakes, but, you know, every rookie is going to be – but Lattimore, if you read what he's been doing, he's been getting his behind handed to him in a bucket. Okay?
Well, now, I heard that a lot of that has to do with he came in out of shape from the circuit, the annual –
Well, they all worn that circuit, brother.
But now, like the last few days of training camp or OTAs, he's moved into the starting
– Well, you can't go by any of the stuff that they start. I'm just
and
going
get,
about
get
who
it,
he's covering
saying,
and who
the
beats
reports
him.
Are he's
Coleman
better.
Beat him. Beat him bad twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you would have told me he got beat by Michael Thomas really bad twice, I'd say, well, it's Michael Thomas.
Right.
But he got beat by Coleman twice. Okay. I'm sorry. You're talking about the number four receiver, not the number one receiver.
Poor
right?
Coleman, man.
Okay.
This poor guy.
Well, I mean, it just it,
speaking
it is.
Of which, have you seen the latest picture of Coleman's guns?
Oh, he's
if you
dude,
thought
he
was
jacked.
Bulked up looking last year.
I mean, he swole like a baby diaper in a pool, man. I mean,
yeah, I like that one, the baby diaper in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I mean, he looks like a beast, man, if he just played with a little bit more
but
toughness.
Look, here's the bigger, we can argue all day about whether Unger is a big loss, is he coming back, what about Armstead, who we can slide out there, who might be good enough, what pro bowlers we did or didn't have because they were hurt or not. For me, what it comes back down to is here we go again, right?
Right.
A certain part of this is just Saints shell shock. When it comes to injuries, right?
I mean,
you know, boy, we're gonna we could have Dallas Cowboy good offensive line this year. Next day, Armstead to miss 6 weeks because he
6 months,
six months or whatever because he blew his freaking muscle out doing a bag drill.
He tore it,
you know. You know, so it's the bigger issue, though, right? Why is it that we have so many injuries with the Saints?
That's good. Yeah.
Because the real problem is it's early yet. We ain't even got out of OTAs and minicamp yet, and we got guys falling out like flies already.
Yep.
And so what is the issue? Last year, the Saints were double the number of games lost than what the teams that made the playoffs and all. Right. You know, so you start looking at that, and it's been a pattern over the last
Games lost, quite meaning injured players. Games lost.
You know. Yeah. And so it was 369 games lost. Yeah, you know, which was more than double. Like I said, you know, the playoff teams averaged like 145 or something, or whatever it was. Yeah. And the point is that what the hell is going on? Because look, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in Grigory. I don't believe in the Superdome being built on the cemetery. I don't believe in Greenbrier, whatever shit. You know, it's all funny and it's and everything. But
you good for one cuss word every show. Sorry, yeah, go ahead,
I don't believe in any of that stuff. I believe in, you know, you make your own luck, good or bad.
That's correct.
Okay. But the bottom line is the Saints are doing something wrong right now.
Olympic weight.
Okay. Well, if it's that, you know, what I want to know is who gets paid to know. And figure it out. I don't care whether it's the trainer and it's, you know, like it's, if it's Olympic weight training or if it's they're doing ballet wrong or whatever it is. Figure it out. That's the real issue with the Saints. Somebody's got to freaking figure it out.
Yeah. What I understand is this, and, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert in the field, so I don't know. But Olympic weight training is supposed to be the kind of training you work on for explosiveness.
Yeah.
For muscular explosiveness.
Yeah. Well, they've...
Okay. Yeah. And so for the Saints, we have had several muscles exploding.
Yeah,
exactly right. Exactly right. So I don't... Not every team uses it, but Peyton gave an interview saying he's a big believer in Olympic weight training.
Huh.
Okay.
Maybe that's the problem. We may have just identified the problem.
And what I'm saying to you is that, okay, like you said, because I'm not versed enough to know. I know two basic Olympic weight things that they do. The snatch and grab, and I can't remember the other. There's two of them.
Clean and jerk.
Clean and jerk. That's it. That's it. That's right. The snatch and the clean and jerk. Yeah. That's it. You know? So, to me, that's all I know about Olympic weight training. But if you're going to be specializing in that, I would think, just like I think Heath is implying, you have to have a pro on the team who specializes in training in that manner. It can't just be, you know, well, you know, we got this guy who graduated from Little Sisters of the Poor with a degree in physical education in weight training, you know? I mean, it can't be that. You have to have, I'm not saying that the Saints have that. You know, I'm just saying that there must be some disconnect in the Saints organization between the type of weight training that they're doing because of the injuries. I just can't see anything else. I don't think it's, the medical staff comes in after the fact. You know, for all these people, the medical staff comes in after the fact. After the muscle's blown or the bone is broken or whatever, then they come in. You know, right. So to me, the rehabilitation, I would say, okay, now that's a medical issue, you know, the repair and rehabilitation. But the training, that's a training staff. They pay people to do that. So how do we have that many injuries? And then I go back and say, you know, why aren't we following Drew's regiment?
We've been talking about, we've been dancing around this for a while about whether the Saints training and or slash medical staff is at fault. But the Saints also acquire guys with histories. Okay?
That's true. Yep.
Ellerbe. When we traded Stills to, you know, I mean, Ellerbe already came with injury baggage.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it was a miracle on recent history that Unger made it 2 years with the Saints without being hurt. He was hurt in Seattle.
That's true. That's true.
You know, okay, then switch over to somebody like Armstead, okay? Armstead was a nobody guy, a small school guy or whatever, you know.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Right, okay. Well, how big was Armstead when he played in college versus how big is he now? Maybe Armstead's too big. Maybe Armstead just can't handle the body that he's
in
now.
That's possible, too.
You know?
That's a good observation.
I mean, he was, you know, his whole thing, oh, this guy's nimble, and you want to believe how quick his feet and all this. That's usually not from really big,
right?
You know, powerlifting guys or whatever. I mean, maybe he's exceeded what his body can handle to play at, and he's, you know. And I mean, it goes on and on. And this year, there's guys, I mean, I really like, you know, but Lattimore, another guy. We'll have to see.
I realize all guys get hurt
playing football. At some point in time, they all hurt some kind of way.
Yeah.
But, you know, missed a couple of years. Anzalone, another guy that I like a lot, I have high hopes for, missed a couple of years.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. You add it all together, though, and it's a major problem with the Saints.
Kakaha into that mix, too. But, look, let's hit a break. We'll be back with Chris Landry. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, welcome back, BS and Beer Podcast. Your host, Dave Romero, and as we do most every week, I got my buddy Chris Landry in here, going to share some good Saints information with you guys. Hey, Chris, how you doing this week, brother?
I'm doing good, Dave. Great to be with you, as always.
Yeah, man, I look forward to it every week. Listen, let's jump right into it. The big news of the week, the loss of Teron Armstead. Now, obviously, I think we all know and everyone knows how big of a loss that's going to be to the team, but to me, I want to get your thoughts on Ryan Ramczyk, because the reports are that he's first in line.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no doubt that it makes that draft pick now, and people that criticize it is makes it much more a necessity. And how they go about doing it's going to be interesting. There are a couple of ways they can do it. I would expect them to keep Zach on the right side, and Ryan can play on the right side as well. Play on the left side. They may consider maybe looking at Zach left side. All those things they're going to have to consider. But the loss of Teron is big. There's no doubt that he was developing into an outstanding left tackle, has the great type of feet. Ramczyk is a good young player, but they're going to have to get him ready sooner than they had hoped. He certainly has a lot of ability. I think he's got good feet. I think he shows pretty good hand punch. But he is a young guy, and learning, this is a developmental position, one of them that you have to really learn about the technique and playing at the NFL level and understanding not only how to communicate with your line mates, but how to be able to counteract good pass rush moves, counter moves, speed to power moves, staying in good balance, all those things that you can get away with a little bit. When you tend to be sloppy at the college level, you can get away with it. The pro level, you can't. So we've seen young guys start out and play very effectively early. It's not the direction you want to go ideally, but this is the direction that they're going to have to go. And he certainly gets first crack at winning this starting job. In essence, he's going to need to get all the reps anyway. And if he's not ready to go and they're going to have to go and maybe add somebody to the mix, that is not out of the question. There's going to be a veteran tackle. And when I say a veteran tackle, we're not talking about somebody that's Pro Bowl level. We're talking about somebody that's played very effectively at times in the league, that will come free in the second round of cuts, if not the first. And they might add them to the mix. But at this point, there is no one that they would bring in at this point to take away reps from Ramczyk. It doesn't make any sense. But I don't rule out that possibility down the road that they wouldn't bring in somebody. Maybe it's like a Ryan Clady or someone like that. That is not someone you want to fool with right now. But down the road, meaning depending on how preseason plays out, it might be something that they're forced to do.
Yeah, and he's already behind the eight ball a little bit coming out of college with a hip injury that set him back.
Absolutely.
Now, what are your thoughts? Now, there's been some speculation. Andres Pete played left tackle last year. I wouldn't expect them to move a Street from the right side to the left, but Pete did play some left tackle last year, and I thought that he played okay.
Yeah, I think it's another possibility. The answer is, you know, can you get the job done at guard without him? That's the answer, where you're ultimately getting your best five. I do agree with you that, you know, Streif to me at left tackle's not an option, not a realistic option. I know it's an option that they're considering, but it's not, I don't think, a serious one. You know, really to me would come down to either Ramczyk or Pete being at left tackle, or someone that's not on their team right now. Khalif Barnes is really not the answer long term, but it is a possibility. But who's going to be at guard? You have to be careful when you make that move that you don't weaken yourself at two spots. And I do think if Pete ended up being at left tackle.
Hey, well, I'll tell you. Go ahead, please.
And without Armstead there, that weakens you. It makes you weaker at two positions. But the answer is a very viable one. What you're going to have to get, you're going to have to get good quality play at guard, even though the left tackle spot is a more premium position and more important than left guard. Boy, you could weaken yourself in a couple of spots if you don't have good guard play and you got Pete at left tackle. He's adequate. You don't have a really good left guard. You got some real breakdown problems.
Right. Hey, Chris, I got some. I have a graffiti hotline I was telling you about. Would you mind taking a call from one of our listeners?
Absolutely. Right. Be glad to.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'll keep it under 15 seconds. Go. Look, really dig into why you feel Mike Nolan's going to be a real boon to this team. Let's get into a discussion on how much Mike Nolan will make an impact. Thank you.
I think Mike Nolan is an outstanding coach. I've known him for years. Obviously, his dad was an outstanding coach for the Niners and, of course, Dick coach for the Saints as well. And spent some time with Mike. Not many people will remember, but Mike was actually on Bill Ornsparger's staff at LSU with me 1 year at LSU, and he's gone on to have a great career in the NFL. How many guys have been both a defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator in the league? He's done that. He's been a receiver coach. He's coached on both sides of the ball very effectively. He's a really bright defensive mind. He understands the game from both sides. He's a good teacher. He relates well to other coaches, to players. I think what you're going to see is improved technique. I think improved positioning. Listen, it's all about players. But I think in terms of a good football coach that can really teach and really help the defense, I think he's a huge, huge advantage to this team.
Absolutely. Okay, so every week so far we've done a player profile, and so I'm going through the roster and I'm trying to think of a guy that the fans would be really interested in hearing about. And there's a guy that was a forgotten man, and we were really excited about him. Whether it was real or perceived excitement, the excitement was there. It's just a matter of Obum Gwacham.
Mm-hmm.
His season ended on IR because of a badly sprained ankle. There was a lot of potential there based on the reports that we heard. Can you give us some thoughts on what you think he might be able to potentially provide to the Saints?
Sure. Certainly, he originally came out of signed with Seattle and was picked off of claimed in the 15. And really, kid that came out of Oregon State, a guy that's a very good athlete. He's 6'5 and 3'8. He's in the 250 range. He's a California kid from Chino Hills. And, you know, he was a very good athlete that played receiver and was moved to defense in 2014. And he became a big-time player in college on special teams. Got invited to the combine, very athletic there. And as his body has developed, he has great first-step quickness as an edge rusher, which is one of the first things on your checklist that you look for. He plays on raw talent. He doesn't really understand as much as you need to about defensive concepts, assignments, technique, but he's gotten better and better. He struggles to get off blocks a little bit, but he's a developmental guy. He was a track guy. He was a high jumper, and he has all those athletic qualities to be a special player. So I think it's, again, one of the good jobs that they've done in finding these athletes that will work hard and develop. And obviously, if he can stay healthy, he certainly can be an asset as a sub rusher.
Seems like he has a high ceiling. I mean, I know he doesn't have a lot of experience, but with the athleticism, the size, I heard last year he had put on, you know, some weight. I think if I recall correctly, like 20 pounds, so he was up in the 270 range.
Right, and, you know, when he came out, he was, if I can remember, he was a little under like 248 at the combine. So he has put on weight. He's a developmental guy. Athletically, he's gotten, you know, he's gotten stronger, but athletically he can hold that extra weight and hold it very well. That is going to help him get off blocks. That's what he needed to get, is get stronger, particularly in the upper body. And that's something that was a part of his game that he needed to improve upon coming out of Oregon State. So really good young athlete that is trying to develop, be developed into a good football player. And, you know, listen, I'm excited about what he can be, and I'm curious to see how far he can go.
We're talking to Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Chris, I got my access to your site, and I was going through it, and I just, man, I think of all the information that I'm going to be able to access now in my college football preparation because of my other podcast. It's the University of Kentucky, being able to really get some good insight. And I just going through all that stuff, man, tell the fans out there what other things you have going on this week.
Well, we are focusing a lot on mini camp recaps. So the Saints and every other team going through film work, going through talking with coaches and personnel people on mini camp, combining all that and providing a complete review of each team's mini camp, grading their rosters. So we've got that going on the NFL side. In college, we're breaking down every college team in major college football, their rosters, and getting prepared for the football season. And of course, daily we've got notebooks, NFL notebooks, what's going on around the league, talking to people in the league, college football, what's going on there. Not a lot of news, but maybe guys transferring, some issues there, guys that are looking good based upon spring practice tape, but also a lot of recruiting information. That's big. Probably the biggest thing going on in college right now is the recruiting, the summer camps and whatnot that these kids are going on, and how they're looking, how they're developing, maybe kids that have committed to a school and how they're looking and developing, or kids that haven't committed and who they're looking at. So we've got all of that. Not too early to start looking at the draft. We've got draft notebooks in addition to recruiting notebooks. So it's a daily smorgasbord of information on football, from recruiting to college football to the draft, free agency, you name it. It's one-stop shopping football. And of course, if you're listening to this, you've got it's a great news for you, because you can get a discount by using the code Saints. This is Saints podcast, so use that code and you can get a special discount where you not only get the rest of this offseason taking you into the season, getting you prepared for the season, but through the entire football season, where we'll break down game film, the college and pro game, and obviously take you through next offseason, free agency, the draft, recruiting, all the way through next year at this time. You use the code Saints, you get that special discount.
That's outstanding. I tell you what, even though the news is a little slow right now, there's so much information that any subscriber would want to catch up on if you really want to know what's going out there. Chris, again, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a few minutes, and we always enjoy your input, my man.
Hey, appreciate you having me, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay, take care.
BS and Beer Podcast, breaking opinions on yesterday's news.
All right, BS and Beer Podcast, we're back here. We want to thank the SEC Pubs for sponsoring us and having us here every week to do the podcast. Also, we got to give out the phone number.
Yeah, what's that phone number?
701-901-1295. That's the graffiti hotline. Yeah. Y'all like that? You impressed? They all laughing at me?
Yeah.
All right, and you can email us. You can get in touch with us at bsandbeer@icloud.com. And then we got our social media, Tomas.
BS and Beer, who dat, or Tomas19.
And
that's my Twitter
and
account.
And Heath.
Heath Elson-san.
Oh, yeah. Figured good luck with out. That. Good luck with that one. Yeah. Mine is Saints BS. Just give us a holler.
How
let's
do
know
you
what
you're add
thinking.
A different thing on like that?
Oh, it's easy.
Twitter account?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I got figured out. I got like four Twitter
all
accounts
right.
for all my business.
I'll have to come up with something else to attach to it so it's easier for me.
And anyway, Tomas.
Preview. You need to put something together with it. Preview. Yeah, okay. So my preview for next week is going to be this. How many of the rookies are going to make this team? That's going to be my preview, since, you know, we have a non-believer here of rookies.
A little teaser.
You know, so I want to go through the rookies we have and who I believe is going to stay with the team from the rookies, both drafted and undrafted.
Jack Allen. Oh,
he may not be staying, but okay.
He's having some struggles. Yeah. I don't know who's less accurate, him or Garrett Grayson right now. And
neither one of those two. Especially when you hear the interview with Peyton talk about Nassib. And you're like, seriously, did you hear the interview? I mean, Peyton was like, man, this guy, this is what we wanted here. And I'm thinking, wow, Garrett Grayson is gone. You know, I just don't see him beating, you know.
Yeah, I kept hoping against hope, I guess, that like, oh, man, the light really came on this year. And I don't know, man. That was just, boy, that's a big waste.
Did you see the quarterback challenge?
No, I did not.
Okay, they set out three helmets at 10, 15, and 20 yards, something like that. And you had to be able to hit them. So they had all the quarterbacks come out, all the ones that we don't know. Okay,
right.
Like Nasib was there and Garrett Grayson and the kid from, we signed somebody from some little, from some school, I can't remember, Columbia or someplace, I can't remember. And Shane and Drew, right? So they all come out. So the first three guys then get squat, right? Shane comes out, hits one. Okay, then Drew comes out, boom, the two-pointer, boom, the three-pointer. I'm like, okay, you know why he's starting quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. Heath, any final thoughts there?
No, man. I'm good.
All right. Hey, we want to also thank Chris Landry for his weekly appearance with us. We appreciate that.
And notice that I haven't antagonized him yet.
No, you haven't. I'm keeping you two separated.
Okay.
All right. So for Heath and Tomas, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll catch you next week.
Later. And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.